This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Hello and welcome to Childhood Matters. My name is Zan West. I'm senior producer of Childhood Matters. And today I'm sitting in for Nurse Rona, who's tending to her family. Because even when your kids are in their 20s, your child still matters. I'm sure all you caregivers out there can understand. So special thoughts and energy today to Rona and the entire Renner family. So as I mentioned, I'm Zan West. I'm sitting in today for Nurse Rona. I'm a teacher at Westlake Middle School, and I've also been involved in decades of social activism here in Oakland, mostly focusing on issues surrounding policing with organizations such as Critical Resistance. But I'm also a resident of West Oakland, so many of these issues we're going to talk about today, about healing the streets, really have a lot of personal resonance for me. I'm joined this morning by Maya Dillard-Smith, who's a public safety expert with tremendous experience working with youth, communities, law enforcement, and the justice system. She is the Director of Strategic Partnerships and Investments with Youth Uprising in East Oakland. She was the founding chairperson of Oakland's Violence Prevention and Public Safety Measure Y Oversight Committee, where she spearheaded the implementation of Oakland's first ever citywide prevention initiative aimed at investment in community policing and violence prevention programs. Maya also served as senior advisor to Gavin Newsom and director of violence prevention with the Mayor's Office of Criminal Justice in the city of San Francisco. Maya is an Oakland native and a single mother of three. Welcome to our show, Maya.
Thank you for having me this morning.
Thanks for joining us. And it's really nice to be in the room with another Oakland native. It feels not that often that we get together, so I feel very honored. But what we know is that these issues are certainly not Oakland specific, right?
Absolutely.
And so we're also having a discussion with you. So call us at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-5437. And you can also email us during the show at info@childhoodmatters.org. We'd certainly love hearing what's going on in your neighborhood, so give us a call and join the conversation. First, I want to take a moment to contextualize the conversation that we're going to have today. Oakland, quite specifically the youth that live here, have been in the news quite a bit recently. Being someone who works with the youth in Oakland, I found much of it off base and some of it even entirely offensive. And when I read actually Jakarta from the executive director of the Ella Baker Center's blog posting about some of his feelings around the conversation that was happening here in Oakland, I felt he asked a lot of questions that I'd been asking myself recently and a couple of questions that I'm hoping we're going to get to in a moment. But before we get this conversation underway, I want to clarify that what we're talking about today is children and youth. I know that many of the issues we're going to discuss today are the source of much political debate, even around my own dinner table. But what we're talking about today is not politics. We're talking about children. I'd like to ask all listeners to suspend their beliefs about adults that live in these neighborhoods we're going to talk about and take a moment to center children. It's my own personal belief that children don't choose zip codes, income levels, or the mental health of their parents. And therefore, children being holistically fulfilled is part of the responsibility of our entire society. So having said that, I'd like to start off taking a listen to our pre-recorded piece I did with five different youth all over East Oakland. I talked with them about their experiences with police. I talked to them about their reaction to the death of Oscar Grant and a lot of the different news that's been going on around here. Now, please keep in mind that the interviews I did are children between the ages of 12 and 20. And after, I'd like to hear your reaction, Maya, and hear about some of the work that you've done in having conversations and dialogues between police and youth. The following is an interview I conducted with youth from all over East Oakland. We talked about their feelings about police, Oscar Grant's death, the riots, and what they see as the future for Oakland.
What was the majority of your contact with police in Oakland like?
Sometimes they mistaken me for somebody else and just still have me sitting there when they see I'm not the person. I remember one time they mistaken me for a Latino person and they could clearly see that I'm not Mexican, but they still had me waiting and asking me some additional questions when I'm just trying to get home. But it really made me feel mad. It made me not really like the police, and I'm not the type of person who's gonna really just dislike something, but it kinda, it made me feel a little bad inside.
The only interactions I really had with police was always negative. I'm walking and they, you know, like pull me over, ask me for my ID and
stuff. You know, you get really nervous when they pull you over.
Some commotion with the people next door to me, and the police thought it was my door, so they was coming towards me, and they had the guns pointed towards me. And then my mom was downstairs screaming. Then all the police are just storming everywhere, and they thought it was my apartment, but it wasn't.
You're walking with a whole group of people. They think you up to something, so they just start following you. I'm scared now since I went to jail. Me, I don't want to have no contact with the police. Kids, all they do is take them to jail. Like, I don't think they're trying to help me at keeping me out of violence. They're not keeping nobody else out of violence.
I'm sure you know what's been going on in Oakland around the death of Oscar Grant and the Meserly trial. Can you tell me some of your thoughts and emotions about that?
When I first heard the verdict, I'm like, I don't like no police nowhere. The justice system got us messed up or whatever.
Yeah, I think it should have been more professionally done.
This isn't just the Oakland police and Oakland people have a problem. Police have a problem if they are able to make the mistake.
Gallons, because we watched the video. Yeah, that could have been like one of us, one of our families. How can you mix up a taser from a gun? And like, if it was us to kill somebody, we would have got life or 15 years, but he's going to probably do only 5 years.
That's not bad as him walking free, because some cops just got off and they killed several people. People didn't understand it, so they went ballistic for no reason. Then everybody went to blame breaking into Foot Locker on Oscar Grant. That kind of made me mad.
That made me feel like we was getting back at the cops for what they did to Oscar Grant, because that really wasn't fair to what they did to him, because he wasn't doing anything wrong.
Probably in my mind, Oscar Grant, he wouldn't want them doing that neither.
If people are being held down by something that's not fair for a long time, eventually they uprise and they show their anger, and sometimes they get confused about how they should show it because they don't understand what power they have and how they can utilize it correctly. And I think that that's something that's intentional.
So thank you very much for those interviews. Now I'd like to hear a reaction from Maya about some of those voices of the youth.
Well, you know, it's quite interesting because the commentary by the young people is not unlike my own experience as a young person growing up in Oakland. And, you know, there's something that comes with age and maturation and parenthood that refocuses your perspective. But, you know, there's that age-old saying from the mouths of babe. And the experience of our young people is not to be underestimated. And so I think it's critically important that we take heed to what the young people are saying, because what belies the commentary, in my opinion, is questions and concerns around the issues of equity and fairness and access to opportunity and issues of oppression, which still exists in our community, and issues of power, who has it and who don't.
Absolutely.
And my experience is that when we are young, we often feel powerless. We often have issues with authority, whether it be the police or our parents or anyone who's trying to direct and tell us what to do, ultimately. But I think that there are genuine sentiments around what it means to be a young person growing up in communities like Oakland, where, you know, oftentimes they don't feel like that they have a voice, that people are listening, that there is a way for them to actively and meaningfully engage. And so when issues like Oscar Grant arise, they bring up emotions that are related to the issue and outside of the issue, quite right. frankly. But, you know, my estimation is that we've got to have more intensive strategies that allow our young people to come in contact more with the police in more positive settings. And so one of the strategies that we're employing at Youth Uprising is something called Code 33. And Code 33 was something that was piloted 10 years ago. When I was in high school, some of my peers were very active in the development and launch of Code 33. But it really is an interactive conversation between the police and young people over 5 to 6 weeks, where they come together weekly in 3-hour sessions. And these are full-fledged dialogues. Anything goes. Everybody's on the same playing field, and the young people are really able to engage with the cops. We just wrapped up a session several weeks ago, and it was really powerful, the transformation that happened in those dialogues, where the young people are really, you know, curious about, well, why do you have to wear the gun, and why do right. you have to approach with such aggression or seeming right. aggression? And, you know, the cops had to say very squarely, I put my life on the line every day. When I leave my home, I don't know if I'm going home to my family.
Right.
And the streets are dangerous.
And did you feel like, do the police officers learn anything from the youth?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. What are absolutely. Some of the things that they walk away with?
I think that they are able to humanize our young people in a totally different context. What is real is that most of the cops that work in Oakland aren't from here. They've got very limited experiences with the communities that they actually are hired to protect and serve. And so the young people really put a different face on what I think are the stereotypes that the cops often come to the work with. Mm-hmm. But also the young people have to put their stereotypes on the table and challenge those. It was really interesting because after the first or second week, the officers, some of them would be off duty, and they were so committed to this effort and this transformative experience that they would come in on their days off. And wow. They'd be dressed in plain clothes, and the young people wouldn't recognize them.
Some of the children that you heard in that previous pre-recorded piece had gone through Code 33. Mm-hmm. And that's what so many of them mentioned. Seeing them in their plain clothes made them really see them in a whole different way.
So, it humanized them.
Absolutely.
And I think when we can humanize the experience that we have just as people, mm-hmm. that you begin to break down some of the walls that kind of keep us separated.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, one thing I do want to say is that, you know, one of the most powerful experiences out of Code 33 were the actual riots that happened after the verdict. And several of the young people that we work with at Youth Uprising who had also gone through Code 33 were out in downtown Oakland trying to encourage their peers to come to the healing center that we operated at Youth Uprising after the verdict. And in the midst of all of that commotion, one of our young people saw an officer that he knew in the Code 33 experience. And in the midst of all of that tension and all of the confusion and chaos, he went up and embraced him and greeted him. And for the people who were there, they said it was really powerful because young people and officers together had to take pause at seeing another young person, another officer who you would think were at odds in the midst of this tragedy and people's sense of injustice after the verdict, really embrace one another and really, I think, define the power of these transformative experiences.
Thank you for that. I'd like to introduce our other guests. Joining us in the studio is Jakata Amani, who became Ella Baker Center's executive director in 2007 after working on some of the center's most high-profile campaigns for 8 years. Prior to becoming executive director, Jakata directed Books Not Bars, as well as the Stop the Super Jail campaign. He also ran Ella Baker Center's youth organizing project, Third Eye Movement, during the No on 21 campaign, which was a ballot measure aimed at putting kids in adult courts and prisons. Before joining Ella Baker Center staff, Jakata helped launch and lead a number of important Bay Area organizations, including Empowered Youth Educating Society, Rising Youth for Social Equality, and Underground Railroad. Also born and raised in Oakland, Jakata is the father of four powerful and creative young girls. So welcome to the show, Jakata.
Thank you for having me.
I was mentioning to Maya how honored I feel to be in a room with two other Oakland natives. I feel like it's rare that we get together, so thanks for that.
It truly is.
And what we were sort of discussing is a lot of these sort of what's been cast as a sort of different camps between the young people and policing, and talking about some of the programs that have been enlisted to sort of facilitate this conversation between what have been, as Maya was describing, very separate camps, it seems like.
Right.
And so what I want to do now, I want to go ahead and take our first live line, and I want to speak to Salome from Oakland. Salome, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you doing? Thanks so much for waking up with us. What did you want to add to our conversation?
My input is that when Oscar Grant died, I think that's the focal point, and that was a breaking point for you seeing that justice wasn't served, that justice, they're tired of being harassed, they're tired of being ridiculed, and we need to come together and build a foundation for the youth and answer any questions that they need, because a lot of them are confused and scared. They put on a persona that they're tough, but they're not. They're tired of being abused. You have some youth that's homeless. You have some youth that live in bad situations. So we just need to get together and try to focus on rehabilitating our children and our youth. It is really a strong point. We need some help in our communities. We need centers. We need help.
And Salome,
yes, ma'am.
Well, what do you see as possibly some of the solutions for what the youth are going through?
What I believe the solution should be, ask the youth, how do they feel? Find out where they're coming from first. And then from there, you work from there, and then you find out how they feel about the police officers, how they feel about any law, citizens, any mayor, anything to do with people with the deal with law. Because a lot of them, the youth, look at law, is a lot of them, because a few bad apples have made it bad for the other ones. So they basically look at police officer as a person with a shield that's doing harm.
And
so they don't look at one or the other. They think all are alike.
Right. And Salome, do you have children?
I have a son, yes.
And how old is he?
He's 21 now. And yes, I've been through it with the police officers. Yes, I have.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And do either of my guests have anything to say to comment on what Salome had to share with us?
A ton. you know, I think the killing of Oscar Grant, for a lot of young people, and I know even for me, who at this point is, I'm 37 years old, it looked like what I've been through 1,000 times. That me and my friends are out hanging out, all of a sudden there's a ton of cops all around us, putting hands on us, being really aggressive, and what we saw was an extreme example of it going bad, right? Even most of the time when it goes bad, it ends up with us in the back of the patrol car. When we were just out having fun with our friends, all of a sudden it escalates into this thing. And we saw on tape the cops escalating it. We saw it on tape from the beginning. And so it felt like, at least, you know, for a lot of young people I was talking to, that finally we had the proof and the evidence of what we've been saying. Because people often come back to young people and say, well, you must have been doing something. You must have been up to something. And you must have said or done or something. There had to be more to the story than this. And I think for a lot of young African-American and increasingly Latinos in our cities, they're not. There is this idea that young people are dangerous, that young brown people are dangerous or up to something, or you have to worry about them. And that's not just an idea at this point, sadly, that's coming from white folks or coming from the cops. I've been in community meetings with black grandmamas asking police officers, can you arrest them for loitering in front of their own home? And the officer has to explain to them why that's illegal. But then I've been out on the block and seen officers do it. Come up to people in front of their own house, get them up and shake them down, looking for something, some reason to move them along, some reason to harass them. And so one of the things that we've taken it upon ourselves at the Ella Baker Center to work towards is this idea really of strengthening our communities. Because the problem is, you know, these officers don't act that way in Montclair. You know, when there's kids walking around in Montclair, they don't just roll up on them, shake them down, asking them 12 questions, punch, you know, pushing on them, grabbing on them. And it's because folks in Montclair have control of their community. They get to say how things are going to be and how the police are going to be and how they're not going to be. And that's the issue. That's the challenge we have in our communities.
Yes, absolutely. And Salome, did you have anything to say in response to that?
He's absolutely right. I have that experience at the bar station where the officer didn't ask me. I asked for help. And the first thing came out of his mouth was, I on any type of drugs, or was I taking any hallucinogenic pills, anything? Did I come from John George? It wasn't, how are you okay? So, yes, they do. They prejudge already. They already have a judgment on you already.
Right. And so, Maya wanted to respond to you as well. Maya?
Well, a couple of things. I think that our young people have been very vocal. They have been saying we need more things to do in the city. We need access to employment opportunities. We need access to housing and all of the symptomatic things that exist in low-income and community of colors. But, you know, I got to say that I'm incredibly hopeful, because I see so much agency and resiliency in the young people that we work with at Youth Uprising. And, you know, what we're recognizing is that systems have failed our young people. They have failed our communities. And increasingly, we in the nonprofit sector, in partnership with the public and philanthropic, are really trying to build the agency of community to really be change agents.
Absolutely. So we also want to hear from you. We're talking about community solutions. 1-877-372-5437. In a moment, we'll take your call.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Information for your kids.
For your family.
For you.
Give us a call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
The conversation continues after this.
Here is this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Join Nurse Rona at Bananas in Oakland for her great workshop, How to Yell Less and Enjoy Your Kids More. This free workshop takes place Thursday, August 12th from 6:30 to 8:30. Call to register, 510-658-7353. That's 510-658-7353. Join a discussion about the role of fathers and male involvement at San Jose State University. The workshop is free and food will be served. Please RSVP for Friday, August 13 from 11 to 1. Call now 408-414-2700. That's 408-414-2700. Enjoy family story time at the San Mateo County History Museum, Friday, August 13 from 11 to noon. For more information, call 650-299-0104. That's 650-299-0104. Explore a fantastic festival of Filipino culture and cuisine at the Yerba Buena Gardens in San Francisco, Saturday and Sunday, August 14 and 15 from 11 to 5. For more information, call 415-321-5894. That's 415-321-5894. Have a weekend full of fun at KidFest at the Monterey Fairgrounds. There will be jump houses, sack races, and more, Saturday and Sunday, August 14 and 15 from 11 to 5. For more information, call 831-372-5863. That's 831-372-5863. Santa Cruz families, relax at the Scotts Valley Art and Wine Festival. There will be local artists, delicious food, and a children's area. Saturday and Sunday, August 14 and 15 from 10 to 6. For more information, call 831-438-1010. That's 831-438-1010. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
This is Nurse Rona letting you know that you can connect with Childhood Matters anytime on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Now you can get the latest tips, resources, book recommendations, and share your thoughts with other parents and become part of our virtual community. As always, you can sign up for our podcasts and download past shows, community reports, and interviews. Visit childhoodmatters.org to learn more. That's childhoodmatters.org. And tell your friends.
Did you know that approximately 1 in 5 Bay Area 7th graders say they've used alcohol in the last month? By 9th grade, that number doubles to 40%. At kidsdata.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. Kidsdata.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit kidsdata.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
My darling, be home soon. It's not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I traveled for the great relief of having you to talk to.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
So welcome back to Childhood Matters. I'm Zan West, sitting in for Nurse Rona today. She'll be back next week. And we're here talking with Jakata Imani, Executive Director of the Ella Baker Center, and Maya Dillard-Smith, a public safety expert who works with Youth Uprising. And now I'd like to take a minute to listen to actually the second portion of those interviews that I did with youth throughout Oakland. And this one is particularly compelling, I feel, because this is the youth talking about their solutions that they see.
What do you think are some of the biggest problems facing the youth in Oakland right now?
It's too many liquor stores, and we don't got nothing to do. Personally, I like shopping, going to the movies and all that, but like everything far out.
We don't have nobody to find for that guidance and let us know that there is other ways out of a situation. We don't have no one to demonstrate how we can persevere and go on to the next level.
I think that a lot of anti-violence campaigns have to happen. Like a new boxing place is about to open up near where I live because it's like a physical way to release emotion.
I made you Mayor of Oakland. What's the first three things you would do?
I would try and make all public schools better?
I build a lot of youth centers because I think that's what really gets us motivated, and they give us jobs. So, you know, that's basically all we need.
More organizations cleaning up Oakland, and then just more places like Youth Uprising or like community centers where we're offered alternatives for expression. Maybe there's a different way that we need to convince people to not do crime. Crime isn't there because people like to do it. It's there because there's oppression and there's institutionalized racism. And when people start getting educated on that, that'll lead towards there being less crime once there's more opportunities for people.
I'd like to thank the youth who were willing to share their thoughts with me and Youth Uprising for allowing us to come visit. For Childhood Matters, I'm Zan West. And so, Maya or Jakarta, did you have responses to that piece?
Absolutely. You know, violence is a symptom of just larger ills. And when we recognize that, you know, what belies that isn't poverty. What belies that isn't a lack of jobs. Ultimately, you know, it's always funny when we talk about root causes as if those are the things that actually lead to violence. No. Internationally, communities that have greater income bifurcation tend to be more violent. And when we can deal with the issues around economic equality, educational equality, when we can address issues fundamentally, right, which I think are very much guided by our issues of class, of race, and, you know, what we are trying to employ at Youth Uprising just isn't around interventions with youth, right? Those are important. But we recognize, like law enforcement recognizes, we can't serve our way out of this problem. We can't arrest our way out of this problem. Ultimately, we have got to touch the minds and hearts of our young people, right? That we begin to change their outlook on life, that we begin to help them see that indeed there is something beyond tomorrow, because many of our young people are operating on a 24-hour, can I make it through the day, right? That's one of the things that we saw was very similar between the young people and the officers through the Code 33 experience. From the moment they leave the house, they're all worried about whether or not they're going to get home to their families.
That's interesting.
And so we are trying to employ a multitude of holistic strategies that address issues of education and economics, but also policy and systems change. How do we begin to equalize the playing field around our economic development, around our land use, around access to health care, around a whole host of things that make communities healthy and whole, right? Unlike affluent communities where there are social networks and safety nets, the Montclairs of the world, how do we begin to recreate those in communities where there's been extraordinary disinvestment, the flatlands of Oakland, right? We all grew up in a place where there were a thriving Eastmont Mall, a thriving MB Mall. You heard the young people say, I like to shop, but I have to go far out. We didn't have to. We went to Eastmont. There was a movie theater. There was Mervyn's and Montgomery Ward's. And we have seen consistently in our lifetime, and we all look like we're under the age of 40, a disinvestment in Oakland.
Well, and, you know, what I'd like to add to that is that we make the assumption that youth don't know when they're being divested from, right? And they can know what that feels like. They know that we're doing it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think one of the things that for me is that often young people are seen as the problem. I think what Youth Uprising understands, what Urban Peace Movement understands, what the Ella Baker Center understands is young people aren't the problem. Young people, this problem existed before most of these young people were ever born, right? But they can be part of the solution. That their voices and your piece, they can point out the stuff that some of us have become too jaded and too distant from to see what the problems are. But there really is this challenge around resources. And at the Ella Baker Center, we like to think of it fairly simply, that we want to shift public investment of resources away from fear and towards love, right? We have where young people go to school right now, we spend California, one of the, you know, eighth biggest economies in the world, economic engine for the nation. We're now right ahead of Mississippi in terms of per pupil spending, right? We're like 48th or something like that.
That's atrocious.
We spend like less than $7,500 per kid, per class. Now, if one of these kids gets put in cuffs and goes into a jail cell, we're going to spend $35,000 locking them up. And if you're under 18 and you find yourself in the California Youth Authority, we could have sent you to Harvard and Yale by the time we're done with you. You spend a year inside of California Youth Authority, that's $270,000+, right? You spend 2 years, you got advanced degrees coming home, right? But if we send you to Harvard or Yale, and we know what the outcomes of those schools are, but we send a young person into a California youth prison, we're basically calling them throwaway. And One of the things I've gotten to do working at the Ella Baker Center, though I work with Books Not Bars, is go and just sit and talk with legislators and about why is California doing this? And I ask them, you know, which of your children that made a horrible mistake would you allow to go into this system? And oh, not one of them. Not one of them. And so then I get to ask them, well, why is it okay for our children? Right. Why is it our children? You get to spend money adding damage to damage as opposed to, you know, taking them somewhere where they can actually get some treatment that actually helps turn their lives around. And I think that's what the opportunity is, you know, we actually don't need more money. We have money that's not serving our communities well, where there's no accountability for the amount of, if you add up all the prison funding, the police funding, the probation funding that's actually being spent in our communities, there's enough money right there to help turn the schools around. There's enough money right there to turn jobs around, right? To actually provide food for our communities. There's enough money right there. And we have to start having those conversations about how the money being spent in our communities that doesn't serve us.
Absolutely. Well, you guys have phenomenal things to say, but our phone lines are blowing up with people who want to talk to you. So we still want to hear from you. Call us 1-877-372-5437. And we're going to go ahead and take a call from Rakia in San Jose. Rakia, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks so much for waking up with us.
No worries.
And what did you want to add to the conversation this morning?
I was just agreeing with some of the things that you guys were saying. My main thing is that it all starts with the youth. The future is the youth. And if we can put millions of dollars into building all these prisons and millions of dollars into these probation programs, why can't we put millions of dollars back into the education? They've taken away school programs. They've taken away educational, athletic programs. A lot of these kids, that's all they had. And if they take away these programs and all you have left is to go to the streets, these kids are going to go to the streets and they're going to cause a ruckus because there's nothing left to do. And I think, majority of the time, these kids don't even want to go out and be bad. But like I said, if you have nothing better to do, and you feel like you're in a community and the community doesn't care about you, as a youth, why should you care about this community? Why should you try to help this community? You're just going to want to do that because they're not helping you out. So I just want to put my input about that.
Yeah, thank you. And what do you see as some of the solutions to these problems, Rakia?
I got to say, maybe, like I said, first start off with some programs where kids can go out to school and they can learn how to type, learn how to make resumes, learn how to speak well and do well on interviews. A lot of these kids don't know what to do when they go to jobs. They don't know how to act. They don't get the right teaching. And I feel like that needs to start right there, putting more recreation programs into your classes so you can learn how to speak well and go out and do these things. A lot of, like I said, the kids don't understand. They don't know. And if you don't know how to get a job the right way, you're going to go start making money the wrong way because in the end, you're going to need to eat. And so, like I said, you need to start building better programs for the, you know, for the youth. And like I said, start doing the prisons and putting money into the probation. Like the speakers are saying, put more money into the youth because the youth is going to be the future.
Right. And Rakia, I know I saw that you have a pretty innovative idea that is a blog. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I do, actually. It started off as a blog, and it was called What's Going On in Your Neighborhood. And pretty much it's about victims of urban communities like Oakland and other places all over the United States that have been involved in senseless violence acts of crime, and they don't get the media attention or the police involvement that they deserve. I'm actually a journalist major at San Jose State, and I'm trying to start this group up. I actually changed the blog to a group on my Facebook page. I'm trying to build this group up to bring more awareness to, like, minorities, to the Latinos, to the Asians, to the Blacks, to the non people who don't get the recognition that they need. Like, if I were to tell you about Lacey Peterson, a lot of people know who she is. But if I were to bring up someone named Evelyn Sanchez, who went through the same thing, missing, pregnant, no one would know who she is. So I like to bring awareness to my group so people can hear more stories about the people who don't get their national media coverage every day.
That's great, Rakia. How can people find out more information about that?
Well, you can just go to my Facebook page. It's a public group. My name is Rakia Binion. It's Rekuiabinion. Just click in my name and then go to my groups, and you can add. Feel free to leave comments. I know it's going to start off slow, and if we just put more info, we can probably make a difference. I know it won't start overnight, but we can probably make something happen within months, maybe years. But just to get your input on the group, you know, like if you know someone who has a story to tell but they didn't get that recognition from the media or from police involvement, put it on the group. Maybe that might start a stir in that case or something.
All right. Thanks so much for your call this morning, Rakia.
No worries. Thank
and you have
you.
A good day. We're going to send you some passes for the Bay Area Discovery Museum. So stay on the line and speak with our producer so they can get those tickets to you, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Take care. Bye. So we're going to take another call now from Percy in San Francisco. Percy.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Well, thank you.
Thanks so much for giving us a call. What did you want to add to the conversation this morning?
Well, I kind of have a mixed bag, but nonetheless, I do agree with the last call over here regarding the youth and not having certain programs in the schools and sorts of things like that. I kind of agree that if they don't have a lot of resources that I feel that would be good for just basic stuff to help them survive, to help them excel. And so I've had a long thought, a long hope of trying to impart some of the things that I know to some young youth, to leave a little legacy that at least introduce them to some basic skills that they could use the rest of their days. And this is for girls or boys. I'm a plumbing contractor, and I've met a nice young gentleman named Aaron in the San Francisco area recently, and he and I both want to kind of start a little nonprofit type of thing to get them hands-on experience just for basic stuff that you can use domestically and commercially. That is some plumbing skills and some carpentry skills. And I see a lot of manpower sitting out in the corners. And, yes, they'll get into mischief if they don't have any other alternative to go to. I know that in the schools when I was coming up, they had wood shop and machine shop and the auto shop. And I took all of those classes when I was coming along. And so I knew a lot of things about the normal things that people need around the home. And with that type of thing, it will help these young men to have a resource to go to rather than take from someone, is to give out and do something constructive. And in return, you'll get something productive in return. And that's my kind of thought on that. We're trying to formulate that fairly soon if we can. We're looking for an outlet, a place to start, just to teach them how to communicate with people and customers and neighbors in a respectful manner. Mm-hmm. It can be very rewarding, ultimately.
That sounds great, Percy. And since you can't see them, I'll tell you that our guests are sitting in here in the studio nodding their heads at you. So I'm going to go ahead and give them a chance to respond to you.
Well, you know, I agree both with Rakia and Percy. I think Rakia is a shining example of the power and agency of young people as a student at SF, San Jose State, and the initiative she's taken. It's not unlike the initiative we see in the population we work with at Youth Uprising with young people ranging in age from 13 to 24. There is a lot of power in the young people, and they're often looking for guidance about how to harness and utilize that power. And, you know, we provide full-scale comprehensive services from mental health. We've got a mental health practice. We've got an on-site health clinic, which is the highest utilized in Alameda County. We have a 3,600-square-foot career and education center where we're providing job training and work placement. We operate 4 thriving social enterprises. And so what we recognize is that there have to be comprehensive services for our young people that our emphasis on prevention and intervention. We recognize that enforcement can't be the only option. Increasingly, the legislature is recognizing enforcement is bankrupting our system, that we cannot provide the fundamental skills and services that a thriving economy require, that we've got to have a fully developed labor force. And there are those of us, both Youth Uprising, Ella Baker, and many others, working to really equip our young people with the skills they need to be successful in their transition to adulthood.
Okay, great. So in a moment, we'll take your call. We'll be right back. 1-877-372-KIDS.
Childhood Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
Developmental delays affect 1 in 6 children. Although every child develops at a different rate and in different ways, parents and caregivers who spot special needs symptoms in their children can follow these tips when seeking assistance. Get help early. If you think there may be a problem, even if you're not sure, seek help. Visit a doctor or healthcare professional for more resources available to you and your child. Express your concerns clearly by giving concrete information to your doctor about your child's development. If your doctor decides not to do a screening, ask why. Your child's healthy development is important to you. If the screening shows risk of a developmental delay, follow-up is crucial. Ask your doctor about next steps and further assessments for your child. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting first5kids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First 5.
Hello, my name is Robbie, father of two and devoted listener of Childhood Matters. In this economy, parents need help more than ever, and Childhood Matters needs your help. With your support, they can stay on the air. Join me in helping Childhood Matters, a nonprofit organization who needs your financial support. Any donation will help Nurse Rona help parents. Go to childhoodmatters.org or call them at 877-372-KIDS to make a donation. Childhood Matters has helped me be the best father I can be. Please help.
The number of overweight children in America has tripled since 1980, mainly due to unhealthy eating and a lack of physical activity. When a child is overweight, they can be at risk of developing health problems like type 2 diabetes and emotional problems from being teased. Adults play an important role by eating healthy and making physical activity a part of family life. Limit junk food, provide healthy snacks, go for walks, bike rides, take the stairs, and have fun. This Childhood Matters health tip is made possible by a grant from Kaiser Permanente, Northern California.
Summer is in full swing, and along with the added fun comes added risk, especially around water. Drowning is the second leading cause of death for children, so practicing water safety is a must. Pools and lakes offer a great opportunity for physical activity, but remember to be careful around them as well. Be aware that flotation devices and life vests can lose air or slip out from under a child. If you have a pool at home, make sure to install a fence or a wall that's at least 4 feet high around the pool, and keep the gate closed at all times. Parents and caregivers should always monitor and stay close by whenever kids are in or near water. For more information on outdoor summer safety, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting www.first5kids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First 5.
I think I'll color this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Said I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First 5.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
So I'm Zan West, sitting in for Nurse Rona today. She'll be back next week, and we're here talking with Jakata Imani, Executive Director of the Ella Baker Center, and Maya Dillard-Smith, who is a public safety expert and works with Youth Uprising. We're talking about community solutions, and we've got a couple of callers on the line, so what I want to do is I want to take these calls back to back, try and keep it succinct, and then I'm going to ask for our guests to respond to them. So first I want to take Erica in Oakland. Erica, how are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. What did you want to add to this conversation?
Well, first, I just wanted to really thank you for doing this show. I think this topic is really important. I'm actually a clinical social worker, and I work with youth in crisis. And I think one thing that I want to add to this conversation is just the fact that young people are actually very traumatized due to some of their interactions with police or seeing how their families are treated by police. And that's something that I often feel like as a mental health worker is not brought into the conversation, just the huge role that post-traumatic stress disorder plays into a youth being faced in an interaction with a police officer who has more power than them, and especially after the murder of Oscar Grant, just for adults, especially adults that work with youth, to really take seriously how that impacts the psyche of a young person. And I also think it's really important that we look at historically the link between the police, prisons, and slavery. And I think if we're talking about solutions, we really need to face that reality. We need to talk about that in our communities, and we also need to have police accountability.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And you brought up probably 2 or 3 hours worth of topics that we don't have enough time to address, but thank you so much for your call, Erica.
Thank you.
All right. And now I want to take a call from Ronaldo in San Francisco. Ronaldo. Ronaldo, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And what did you want to add to the conversation this morning?
I want to say that it starts in the home. If a child is motivated at home, that child can learn anywhere. If he's influenced by his parents, he can be influenced by his siblings, even by grandparents. If the child has the right motivation, he can do anything.
Okay, and Ronaldo, do you have children?
I sure do. He's 29 years old.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. All right. Well, thank you so much for your call this morning. And I want to make sure we get you some passes. So if you could hang on the line and make sure our producer gets all your information, I want to make sure we get you some tickets. Okay.
All right.
So thanks so much for your call. And we hope to hear from you soon.
All right.
All right. Take care. Maya and Jakarta, do you have responses to both Erica and Ronaldo?
Yeah, just briefly. I want to make sure we leave your listeners with some resources. One is for folks who want to be involved in the continuing efforts to get justice for Oscar Grant. And I invite them to join the newyearsmovement.org. It's the New Year's Movement for Justice that's been pushing to try to get justice. And they have a letter writing campaign. You can also log on to our website at ellabakercenter.org and send a letter to the Department of Justice asking them to investigate this case. We know sometimes that the states, you can't quite get justice sometimes in the states. And so you have to, you know, rely on the federal government. And also at the Ella Baker Center, we have a program for young people to actually put them in the leadership of solving these problems. It's a year-long fellowship program called Heal the Streets. And we're accepting applications now. So I would encourage folks to go onto our website. And I think, you know, our last caller, Ronaldo, did talk about how it starts in the family. And I think that's exactly right. But some of our families have been broken apart,
exactly,
given the criminal justice system. And we know, you know, it's corny, but it's true. It does take a village to raise a child, right? When I was a kid, I had an order. If my mom wasn't home, I was supposed to go to Miss Beverly's house. If Miss Beverly wasn't home, I was supposed to go see Miss Pat. If Miss Pat wasn't home, I was supposed to go see my neighbor Jim, right? I actually had a community who helped raise me and who would see me down on Fairfax and say, what time is it? Are you supposed to be at home? What you? Ooh. And I get home. By the time I got home, the neighborhood telephone had beat me there. My mama said, what you doing on Fairfax?
Exactly.
Didn't you say you was going X, Y, and Z? So it takes a community to have that sort of accountability. And because so many of us are scared of our young people, we don't step up and offer them feedback and love in the moment when they're doing stuff and we can help them out. And so it does start in our home, but it also starts, the home is bigger than the house.
Absolutely. Ooh, I like that. And Maya, some responses and some final thoughts.
You know, I agree with Jakarta. I struggle a bit with the fact that the community is rapidly changing. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I mean the neighbor that you grew up with no longer lives there, especially with the housing crisis,
that's
which
right,
has hit urban and low-income communities disproportionately hard. And so what we recognize in the strategy we're employing at Youth Uprising is to really have that peer-to-peer influence. Because of the epidemic of crack cocaine, which helped to break up our community and our families, we're recognizing the power of the peer base. And the truth of the matter is, because we at Youth Uprising work with the throwaway kids, kids who have been engaged in the foster care and criminal justice system, kids who are pregnant and parenting. We work on the prevention element, but we also work with them where they are. And, you know, the truth is that the kids who are most impacted, the kids who have records, the kids who are coming home from the justice system, have more influence over their peers than their peers who are toting backpacks to school. And so one of the strategies we're employing is to really work intensively with young people who are on the edge, who are engaged in systems, but who are wanting to change their lives, who want to change their lives, to really influence them to be leaders with us, right? The other thing I really feel compelled to say is that Oscar Grant is but one of the young people that we lose every year in
this
country.
That's right.
But one of them. And I think that, you know, his killing really spurred a lot of community backlash. But I work with young people who have lost 4 and 5 peers. We lost 2 young people earlier this year. When the shooting at Eastmont Mall happened, but several weeks ago, our young people were impacted. And the truth of the matter is, they're more concerned about that than they are about Oscar Grant. But like, you know, Rakia said, that those murders, those homicides, those killings don't get the same level of attention. And so we really do have to attend to the issue of violence, the issue of trauma that exists in our community. Homicide is the leading cause of death for young people 15 to 24. The leading cause of death. Not unintentional injury, not car accidents, murder. Murder with guns. And we've not attended to our gun policy in this country, and most folks don't want to touch it. But truthfully, our young people aren't acting out any differently than their peers who come from affluent communities or who are in college. Only there's a different standard for them, right? I often say the behavior exhibited by young people 15 to 24 in urban low-income communities is no different than the kids I was in contact with at UC Berkeley, right? They drank, they experimented, they were at risk, but there were parameters. There were supports, right? We are trying to recreate those supports at the community-based level, right? The supports that don't exist because the home isn't as strong as it was when we were children or when our parents were children, right? We're trying to recreate those things to equalize the playing field for our young people, right? So that we have healthy, thriving, economically robust communities. And our vision is that we can have that if we strengthen our young people, if we really give them the opportunity to transition to healthy, thriving adults.
Absolutely. And I just want to share with listeners an email we actually received from Deidre. So thanks so much for the email, Deidre. And I'm going to do my best to sum up your email. And what Deidre was saying is basically, as someone who works with 19 different Bay Area schools, most of which are in Oakland, she feels that there's an overwhelming assumption that certain young students are just not going to do well. And she works with these students and she sees them strive. She sees them taking care of peers and suffering trauma and overcoming the trauma. And the problem that she really finds is that she says when they try and get media to report on these amazing kids, they hear silence. They can never get any media to show up and see how excellent these students are. But as we all know, as soon as someone's smashing a door of a Foot Locker, every media outlet in the nation is there. So I just wanted to make sure we took a second to address what Deidre was saying. And thank you also, Deidre, for your email. Some final thoughts and ways to get in contact with you, please, Jakarta.
Yeah. EllaBakerCenter.org is our website. I think, you know, we this is a good conversation. We began to start it. I think, you know, the thing I would tell people is there's hope. You know, this is not an intractable problem. When you actually look at it, like Youth Uprising is doing, like some of our allies, Urban Peace Movement is doing, you can figure out that in a city like Oakland, we're talking maybe 200 families that really need some intensive work and some intensive help, who, you know, are as people would say, are dragging down the numbers on the curve. But what that means is it's just not this sort of all this zero sum game, that a little bit of investment, a little bit of smart intervention with young people and families at critical moments can actually make a difference. And it makes a difference not just in the lives of those families, but in our entire community. And in this idea that if one of us is sick, all of us endanger getting sick. That's the reason we have vaccines and we take our kids to get vaccinated. When one of us is suffering through this violent stuff, it's a disease. It doesn't stay. People thought, oh, that's going to stay in East and West Oakland. Oh, that's going to stay over in Hunters Point. Oh, that's going to stay over in the Fillmore. No, it spreads. And we have to recognize that.
Absolutely. And Maya, ways to get in touch with you.
You can get in touch with us at youthuprising.org. I want to echo Jakarta's sentiments and build on them, saying that we have to have an inside-outside strategy. That as much as we are working to serve young people and serve family, we have got to begin to change the systems so that we can equitably serve all of us.
Absolutely. Well, I'd like to thank Rona for giving me this opportunity to host. It was a lot of fun. I'd like to thank our guests, Jakarta and Maya, for joining me. And as you mentioned, the conversation has just started, so we're eager to keep it going. Thank you very much. And for Childhood Matters, I'm Zan West.
Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners. I'm grateful to our team, senior producer Zan West, producers Lacey Daniel and Felsha Zuschlag, Lorenzo Pasola at the controls, and Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services. I'm forever grateful to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Nurse Sirona saying goodbye until next week. And parents, remember, spend time with your kids, and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are the family.
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.